2 Samuel chapter 18. We're going to pick up our study this morning in the middle of this chapter, verse 19. We're at the end of a war. The forces of Absalom and the forces of David have met. The battle is concluded, and Absalom's forces came out the worse for it. Thousands died, Absalom died, and the king's forces were victorious. David does not yet know that, nor does he know the death of his son, about the death of his son. And he's waiting for the news, because his charge to his commanders was, go easy on Absalom for my sake. That's not what happened, as the story tells us. And so now the task comes to deliver the message. And in verse 19, then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, let me now run and bear the king's tidings, how that the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies. Now Ahimaaz was a priest in the making. He was the son of Zadok, one of the priests who were ministering on behalf of David. He was one that had been in the city when Absalom was there and was the message bearer to David from Hushai. You remember he was the counselor of David that David sent back so that he would know what Absalom was up to. And so he is being prepared for use by the Lord. Ahimaaz is a man who was excited about his service. He pops up here and he wants to be the message bearer to David about the victory and all that unfolded. But the question is he ready or not? There were others in the scriptures that God used greatly. We think of Moses and Joshua, David, Paul, Timothy. But every one of those individuals went through a season of training. Moses in Pharaoh's court, and then 40 years on the backside of the wilderness. Joshua as the one who walked in the shadow of Moses for decades as he was being prepared then to step into Moses' shoes and lead the nation of Israel. David, of course, as he was being grown up there in the fields of his father. And so forth, Paul and Timothy. Everyone went through a season of training before they were ready to carry the message, if you will. Ahimaaz thinks he's ready. He has the energy and enthusiasm of youth. We know about that as we watch our kids around the fellowship and realize that they have what we used to have. Energy and enthusiasm. They're excited about life, and that enthusiasm is great. It's important. It's necessary. We need to guide that enthusiasm and not discourage it, which we can do so easily. And so God is at work. He's at work in Ahimaaz's life. He's at work in our young lives here. He's at work in our lives. We are, regardless of age, instruments or to be instruments in God's hands. So important for us to realize that. We are, if you will, priests in the making. Peter declares that. We are a royal priesthood, right? And so we realize that as such, we are ministers of the God of heaven. And God is using each of us in an ever-increasing fashion. But training is involved. He stretches us, as you know, in your life. And it takes those times of stretching to prepare us for that which he has for us. And sometimes he will use us in a situation, in a circumstance that is beyond our training, if you will, because he uses it to further us, to press us, to push us forward. And I like that about the Lord. He never gives us more than we can handle. He always gives that which is just right to achieve his purposes. In verse 20, on the heels of Ahimaaz's request, we have a man, Joab, who is in charge, a man in charge. And he says unto him, thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. But this day thou shalt bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead. Then said to Joab, to Cushai, go tell the king what thou hast seen. And Cushai bowed himself unto Joab and ran. So Joab was put into the life of Ahimaaz and Cushai as a commander. And he knew that Ahimaaz was not ready to deliver this difficult message. So he said, not today, son, if you will. This is not your day. You will run, but not today. Cushai, on the other hand, was one who was ready. Now, he was a Gentile. He was from the area of Ethiopia/Sudan, and he was ready. When Joab gave the command, there was no question. He just went because he was ready. He had been prepared. And I love that. You know, Paul would tell Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You see, in order for Timothy to be ready, he had to be prepared. In order to be prepared, he had to spend time with the Lord. And as we look at that, we realize a student, and we have some of those here, a student learns by studying. Now, as we put it in the context of our lives, spiritually speaking, it's hanging out in the Word of God. It's spending time in the Bible, reading, meditating upon, memorizing, being taught through the Word of God. We spend our days studying as a student. And we should never cease being a student, by the way. No matter how old we get, we will continue to learn to move ahead in our understanding of who God is, what he's doing in this world, and how we relate to him. So we need to be a servant as well. A servant learns by serving. Jesus, of course, was our ultimate example of that, for he came not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. David learned servanthood in his father's field as he ministered to the sheep, as he took care of those woolies out there while everybody else was doing other things. But God had a purpose for that. He had a purpose for him there in the field. He also had a purpose for him in the wilderness as he was running from the one who would take his life. He learned even there to serve his enemies. He served, if you will, Saul. He served him well. He professed his love for him. He refused to kill him when he had the opportunity on more than one occasion. And so this one David became a servant of the Lord first, and then a servant of the people. We saw that when Absalom came against him to overthrow his government. You remember his first thought was, we need to leave because there are going to be many that die in Jerusalem if we stay. That was his concern. He was concerned for the people because he had the heart of a servant. A leader learns by obeying. If we want to be a leader, we need to learn to obey those who God has put in our lives to guide us and to direct us. Philip was that way. You remember, he had gone up to Samaria. He was having a great ministry. Many were coming to faith. And the commander shows up and says, I want you to go to the desert. I want you to go to Gaza, where there's no one out there, Lord. He didn't say that, of course. He went. And he encountered the Ethiopian eunuch. And it was on the basis of that then that this eunuch came to faith in Christ and then took that message back home. So a student, a servant, a leader, we are all those things at some fashion or some level in our lives. And it's important that we begin now in order to be ready. As the Lord institutes his work in our lives, we want to be in that place where we're prepared to do what we have been called to do, like Cushai was. In verse 22, we read, Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, but howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushai. And Joab said, wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings ready? Ahimaaz isn't going to take no for an answer, man. He wants to run. He's excited about what's going on, and he wants to be a part of it. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, Paul writes, be ready in season and out of season. That's a great encouragement to us. We need to be ready both in season and out of season. So when the call comes, we are ready to go. you remember the get ready, get set, go. Well, Ahimaaz had two of those. He wasn't ready, but he was set. He was ready to go. And Joab said, why do you want to run? You don't have a message ready to be delivered. But he thinks he's ready. But howsoever, he said, let me run. And Joab said, fine. Joab said unto him, run. Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and overran Cushai. He thinks, I'm ready no matter what. I'm gung-ho and I can do this. Easy words to say, hard to perform on. Peter found that out, if you remember, in the Lord's presence. He said, if everybody else denies you, Lord, I'm not going to deny you. I'll go with you even to death. And it wasn't very long before he was humbled before a handmaid of the high priest as he denied the Lord. He wasn't ready. He failed to pray. He failed to get ready. And we can do that as well. Ahimaaz got his way. He, if you will, pushed the door open. And he moved from God's perfect will to God's permissive will. You see, God has a will of both, perfect and permissive. Perhaps you can relate to that. Where you've pushed a door open, you know God clearly has said no, but it's something you really, 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 really want to do. So you push that door open and God says, okay, fine, go, run. But it doesn't work out too well. When God is at work, he says to us, behold, I've set before you an open door, no man may shut it. You see, that's God's plan. That's God's purpose. That's God's promise to us. So if a door gets shut, we know that that's not God's plan for us. He's redirecting us. He redirected Paul when he wanted to go on a missionary journey. He tried to go north. He tried to go south. He'd come from the west. And the Lord kept shutting doors. The only door open was to the west. He'd come from the east. And somebody from Macedonia in a dream said, come over and help us. And he did. So God was opening and closing doors for Paul. And he's opening and closing doors for you and me as well. He is unfolding his plan in our lives in perfect timing and order. He makes no mistakes. And even then, when we get frustrated, we just need to realize God does not ever make mistakes. He knows what he's doing in our lives. And then we have David, a man waiting for understanding. And David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate unto the wall and lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man came running alone. Now David's heart was set on his son Absalom. And he wanted his son to survive this battle. He was hoping against all hope that that would be happening, but he was waiting for the message so that he might understand what had unfolded. And as we look at that, we realize that the people around us today are waiting for a message. They're looking for hope. They're hoping against hope that there's life out there beyond what they can see. And as we realize that we've been given a task, we've been given a charge, we've been given a privilege to deliver that message of hope to our children first, to those around us in our family, to our community, and to the world at large. And we need to use every opportunity for good because God has the answer. And it begins with understanding. Pray for understanding. You know, as you journey through the book of Proverbs, you see the words wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and discernment used repeatedly. We need to be praying for those things. Lord, I need wisdom and knowledge, understanding, and discernment, Father, as I go through your word, as I interact with people, as we step out in faith. Lord, I need to have your heart. I need to hear your heart in this matter. I only want to do those things that you want me to do. And Jesus was able to say, I only do the things I hear the Father say do. That's possible in our lives as well because it says we have the mind of Christ. So if we have the mind of Christ and we're willing to listen, then we can make the right decision every single time if we're willing to listen. Unlike Ahimaaz, he wasn't willing to listen. But even in that, disaster becomes a building block in our lives. When we hit the wall, when the wheels fall off, whatever it happens to be, God can use that. We hear that verse often. God causes all things to work together for good. How's that going to happen, Lord? I don't know, Lord, but you know. You're going to use that for your glory. But there are going to be mixed messages coming here. And the watchman cried and told the king, and the king said, if he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth. And he came apace and drew near. And the watchman saw another man running, and the watchman called unto the porter and said, behold, another man running alone. And the king said, he also bringeth good tidings. And the watchman said, he thinketh the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. That warmed the king's heart. And the king said, he is a good man and cometh with good tidings. Because you see, Ahimaaz had served him well when he was bringing information from the court of Absalom. So important that we have a clear message. Ahimaaz, as we shall see, did not. And we, guys, we of all people need to have a clear message when we're speaking the truth. David's expectation is good news, and we have it. The world's expectation is good news, and we have it. The good news of the message of Jesus Christ. In verse 28, Ahimaaz has arrived. He's on the scene. We read, Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, all is well. And he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, blessed be the Lord thy God, which hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against my lord the king. Now it's crunch time. And the king said, is the young man Absalom safe? And Ahimaaz answered, and in the margin you can put lied. He answered, when Joab sent the king's servant and me, thy servant, in other words, Cushai and me, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. He wasn't ready to deliver the message. And Joab knew it. Ahimaaz didn't know it. He rightly points to the blessing of God and the victory that was given, but he wasn't ready to provide the full message. He should have listened to Joab's counsel. It's easy to play down the full message because it's hard. There are times when we are going to have to speak into people's lives, and it's a very hard message. Very hard. But we need to be willing to do it. Because the scripture says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Be willing to deliver the hard message, as willing as you are to deliver the good message, the message of encouragement. A number of years ago, I remember I got a call from an individual telling me that one of my dear friend's son had committed suicide. And they wanted me to go tell him. I didn't want to go tell him. That was a hard message. But the Lord spoke to my heart that you need to go and tell him. You need to be there for him when he finds out. And so we need to realize that when the Lord calls us, if we are ready, if we're in that place of fellowship with the Lord, if we've been pursuing him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, then we will be ready to deliver the message that comes to us for deliverance. Ahimaaz was not ready. And the king, verse 30, said unto him, turn aside and stand here. And he turned aside and stood still. And behold, Cushai came, and Cushai said, tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee. Now, as I was reading that, I was thinking, when Cushai came into the court, he must have seen Ahimaaz. He must have known that Ahimaaz had told the king something, but he didn't inquire at all. He simply delivered the message that he had been given to deliver. And I like that. Don't become distracted by other people that you see, that you know are bringing in a message. It matters not what they've said. You just simply need, I need to be faithful to deliver the message that God has given us. And God will do his work. And behold, Cushai came. He said, tidings. And the king said unto Cushai, is the young man Absalom safe? Crunch time. And Cushai answered, the enemies of my lord, the king, and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt be as that young man is. Cushai, the one called to run, faithfully delivered the message. Sometimes the message is hard to proclaim, but he was willing to do it. And it tells us that the king was moved. That was the idea of greatly trembling inside. The king was much moved, it says, verse 33, as you can imagine, and rightly so. Although Absalom had risen up against his dad and was trying to kill him, David loved his son. He grieved over his death. He grieved over the death of Abner. He grieved over the death of his firstborn with Bathsheba. He had a soft heart. It was right for him to grieve, but we're going to see that he took it too far. He took it too far. And he was greatly moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, oh, my son, Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son. The Hebrew says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrows and discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word spoken into David's life did its work. It did its work. It brought him to that place of realizing that another chapter had closed, that the judgment that had come into his life was what the Lord had declared through Nathan the prophet would come. And so his grief was not only for the loss of his son, but I'm sure in his mind, in his heart, he realized that it was a fallout from the decision and choices that he'd made. But God is at work. As we look at that account, we see all of these people as part of God's plan. Two of them, Ahimaaz and Cushai, are really the focus today. One ready, the other not. One man was ready to run. He was prepared. One man was not ready to run. He was unprepared. And as you think about that, you have to ask yourself the question, I need to ask myself the question, am I ready to run? Have I taken on the charge? Have I become that student, that servant, that leader in the making? Am I doing what God has called me to do today? Have I listened to his call? Am I responding to his call? Am I engaging in my world spiritually, physically, emotionally, or am I removed? Am I isolated? I'm one that can isolate easy. I don't know about you. You know, you take the body blow and you just want to pull back and you just want to be out of the fray. But we can't be out of the fray. That's not God's plan for us. And I encourage you to just seek the Lord's heart in that. Lord, am I in that place of preparedness? Have I been doing the things that I need to do to be all that you want me to be? That I might be the instrument in your hand that can bring you glory. That we might see 30 and 60 and 100 fold. Lord, whatever it is that you want me to do, help me to be faithful to do that. It's not always going to be easy. Many times it's going to be very hard, but it's always fruitful and it's always a blessing because we find ourselves in that place exactly, exactly in the very center of God's perfect will. And we can rejoice in that and just stand and say, look at what God has done. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your plan in our lives, Lord. And we thank you for these examples that you've given us in this account, Father. We're challenged, Lord, challenged by the lives of Ahimaaz and Cushai, their choices. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to respond to the challenge, that we would rise to the occasion, that we would follow the direction of the commander. Whether it's to wait for another day or to run, because we're prepared. Help each of us, Lord, to evaluate that in our hearts under the guidance of your Holy Spirit. I pray the Lord would encourage your heart as you realize that he is working in you to bring you to that place where you are ready to run. And perhaps you're in that place today and the Lord is saying to you, it's time to run, time to deliver the message. Wherever you find yourself, may you respond according to the guidance of the commander. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.